Olivia from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Shukri Wright, host of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Fire up the systems in just a matter of moments. We're going to be getting the program started. We got quite a few things to get to, so we're going to be quick, fast, and furious, and passionate. Let's go. Be on standby. The show will be starting in about 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak or walk.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
182 over 100, and I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, and then a stroke. Everything changed. It felt like my life was over.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke. If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
180 over 110, and I had a stroke. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If you've come off your treatment plan, get back on it. Or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this program part of your Monday afternoon. I am here with you until 6 o'clock, and as a reminder, in case if you missed last Monday's show, because of the month of Ramadan, the show will be truncated to an hour. This is the second Monday of the month of Ramadan, which began a little more than a week ago. And to all of the Muslims that are out there listening, Ramadan Mubarak to you. Hope you are having a great start to your Ramadan. And it's hard to believe that we are now a third of the way through this blessed month. It really is. I mean, as of sunset this evening, we would now be moving on to the night before the 11th day of fasting already. Truly unbelievable. The more I think about it, the more I say to myself, we just started. But with all that being said, the show is truncated to an hour. It is usually, for those that are new listening to the program, it is usually from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Monday. And then whenever I would fill in, I'd do like usually an hour or two, depending on the availability of the hour of the time slot and so forth. So with all of that being said, all systems are fired up. You want to call in? You can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. There's a lot to get to over the course of the hour, so I want to try to get to it as much as I possibly can. But let's start with the Boston Celtics, because the regular season is officially over, folks. It's done. The Celtics played their final game of the regular season last night against the Memphis Grizzlies. They looked absolutely terrific. They blew them out, as it has certainly become the norm over the last couple of months, where the Celtics absolutely, they don't just beat their opponents, they absolutely demolish their opponents. And rarely they'll have nights where they're just completely off offensively or offensively, they're just not in complete total sync. They beat the Grizzlies last night 139-110, but we're not going to talk about the game itself, but rather the fact that here we are on April the 11th, they are the number two seed going into the NBA playoffs, which we now know will officially begin this Sunday, April 17th, at home in Boston at TD Garden. That we know. Who they will play, it remains to be seen. They will be playing the winner of the Brooklyn Nets and the Cleveland Cavaliers, as they will be playing that playing series that begins later this week. I believe tomorrow or Wednesday. So, as far as the Celtics are concerned, one thing that I can't help but to feel today, as I was in Back Bay earlier this afternoon, I was feeling a level of excitement for the Boston Celtics that I have not felt in quite some time. This is even going back to the stretch in time in which that the Celtics made it to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 of the 4 years, in 2017, 18, and 2020. But even then, they did not have the buzz and the anticipation and the excitement that surrounds this team. To really begin to try to put this all into perspective, this was a team that was 23-24 at the halfway mark of the season, in which that, I mean, it wasn't exactly the halfway mark. It was 47 games in, but you get the point. This was a team that was meddling somewhere in the middle, at the bottom of the pack, in the Eastern Conference, and somehow, some way, all it took was one video meeting between head coach Ime Udoka and its players to say, enough is enough. We're flipping the switch on. And it just suddenly became like an overnight transformation that we've been waiting for regarding this team for nearly 4 or 5 years now. And it's arrived. It's absolutely amazing to see how this team has changed so much over the last couple of months, that now, as we are anticipating the start of the first round of the NBA playoffs, which begins officially this Sunday, April 17th, the time, that's to be determined, but we do know for sure, as the Celtics, they are the number two seed in the Eastern Conference, as Miami clinched the number one seed in the East, that they are going to have home court advantage in the first round. So let's begin with assessing where the Celtics are and how are you feeling about the Boston Celtics. If you want to call in, you can call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the program. Even with Robin Williams being out, and he's not expected to return at the very earliest until the second round of the playoffs, should the Boston Celtics get there, this team continues to roll. Offensively, I mean, you want to go back to last night's game, we can do that. Jason Tatum scores 31 points, but 26 of those points were in the first half against Memphis. And it just seems as if that the Celtics in these games, they get off to these fast starts, and then the opponents, they'll crawl their way back in. But then after those timeouts that Coach Udoka would take, the Celtics offensively to say, you know what? Time to put this offense in complete full throttle, and we're just going to go for it. We're going to just completely leave you in the dust. And that's exactly what happened in the game against Memphis last night. But as I said, this team has had the propensity of absolutely demolishing teams, and defensively it shows. They allowed 102 points to the Washington Wizards back on April 3rd. They allowed 94 points to the Chicago Bulls on April 6th. They allowed 110 points to the Memphis Grizzlies. And when even though they lost to the Milwaukee Bucks on Thursday, that was because the Celtics did not play a ton of their regulars as they were nursing injuries and so forth. But what is astounding to see, if you want to go back weeks, months, sure, we can do that. But you got to admit that defensively, even without Robin Williams, they haven't missed much of a beat. Because that was the number one thing that it was talked about constantly regarding the Boston Celtics throughout this entire stretch of basketball, which goes back now to January. And we're now approaching or entering mid-April. That this defense was absolutely relentless, absolutely smoldering, and a defense that absolutely does not show any type of regard as to who and what you are. You want proof of that? Go ahead. Go ask the Golden State Warriors. Go back to that game when the Celtics were out west in the Bay Area in San Francisco playing the Warriors. That happened to be the same game that Steph Curry got injured. You want proof? Go ahead. Go ahead and ask teams in which that they get absolutely destroyed. Go ask the Wizards. Go ask the Bulls. The Bulls, who are a playoff team. I mean, what more do you possibly need to see? But now, there was a video that I saw last night in which that I couldn't help but to feel, man, this is a team that looks like they're ready to win a championship. Finally. I saw the video via Twitter in which that Jaylen Brown basically said, I don't care who we face, but we're going to be ready. Let's go. And you know what? As a Celtics fan, you have got to absolutely love that. Because this Celtics team doesn't fear anybody whatsoever. Jaylen Brown fears nobody. Jason Tatum fears nobody. Derek Williams fears nobody. And Derek Williams, the acquisition of Derek Williams, you could say that move alone by Brad Stevens changed the team for the better. There's no question that it did. And what's even more remarkable is that after Derek Williams' arrival, they got better defensively. Their rebounding improved. They're a pretty good rebounding team overall. But the truth is, they went from playing at a good level to an elite level that was oftentimes described by Celtics play-by-play man, Sean Grandy, as rather absurd. Oh, this is just a fluke. No, it was no fluke. This team had the number one defense in the NBA from January on. This team had, you can make an argument, a top five offense in that same stretch as well. And you got to give credit to Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart, and Celtics fans already know this, Marcus Smart is the heart and soul of the Celtics defense, but especially the Boston Celtics. But what made him finally realize that he does not to be the high volume shooter that he has been previously is someone finally pulled him to the side and said, listen, we need you to pass the ball. We don't need you to be this ISO point guard in which that the ball comes to you and you're just chucking it in the air. We don't need you to be that guy. We need you to be the guy in which that can you facilitate the offense? Can you do that for us? We got guys that can score. We got Al Horford out there. We got Jason Tatum, obviously. We obviously got Jaylen Brown. We got guys like Peyton Pritchard who can score coming off the bench. We just need you to be the facilitator. And once Marcus Smart understood that, game changer. Forget the numbers. Well, the numbers tell maybe half of the story. But what you really saw was a team that went from being average to mediocre to pretty much nearly unbeatable in the NBA. And the reason why I am so high on this team right now as it prepares to play in the NBA playoffs beginning on Sunday is because every single test that the Boston Celtics have faced this season, they have passed. Starting from when they were playing below expectations back in January, when they were 23-24. And I, for one, I was one of those that were saying, you know what, it's time to trade away Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Enough is enough. I can't deal with it anymore. Honestly, Boston, I'm willing to honestly admit that I was one of them that said, trade them away. Break up the duo. What are we doing here? This isn't going to work. Man, have I been proven wrong and then some? I have been proven wrong and then some. And not only just that, those two are going to be the reason why the Celtics could very possibly make a run to the NBA Finals. But I will tell you this much too. The winner of Cleveland, Brooklyn, and it looks like everybody is saying that it's going to be Brooklyn. Let's just say that if it's going to be Brooklyn, let's say, for example, hypothetically, it's the Nets and Celtics, game one this Sunday at the Garden. If the Celtics can get by Brooklyn, there's no reason why this team can't win a championship. There really isn't. They've beaten Brooklyn already this season. They've beaten the elite teams in the NBA this season. They've done it time and time and time again. You got to remember, back on February 8th, that game against the Nets, they beat them 126-91. Can they beat Philly? Yes, they can. They absolutely demolished Philly back in February as well, 135-87. This Celtics team has shown they can play with the best of the best. They can beat Denver. Can they play with a team like Golden State? Yes, they proved it. Can they play with a team like Denver, for example? Yes. So in terms of the Celtics' ability to go up and face the elite teams in the NBA, they've shown over and over again that they can beat those teams. And they've shown that they can beat Miami. But Miami is the only team that would worry me a little bit. I'm not worried about the Sixers. And that's no disrespect to Joel Embiid and as well as James Harden in Philadelphia. No disrespect to those guys at all. But the Celtics' toughest test is going to be the Brooklyn Nets if they, in fact, beat Cleveland. Because let's be honest, I expect the Nets to beat the Cavaliers in the play-in round. Yes. But as we all know in life, there are no guarantees. There are no straight line, straight cut to the heart of the matter in which that, oh, well, this team should easily handle that team. No big deal, right? After all, in the history of the NBA, we have seen crazy upsets. The play-in tournament is about a year old. But in the history of the NBA playoffs, we have seen some wild upsets in which that completely has absolutely defied belief. Most notably for me, in my lifetime, you got to go back to 2007. I'll never forget Golden State and that 2007 series against the defending Western Conference champions, the Dallas Mavericks. They were number 8 seed, and they pull off the upset in beating Dallas that year in the NBA playoffs. So upsets are not a new novelty to the NBA, which is why I say if the Nets beat the Celtics, because let's be honest, yes, Ben Simmons looks like he could return for the play-in round against Cleveland, but does that mean that they are going to outright win that series against Cleveland? Not necessarily. So, with all that being said, the Boston Celtics right now, whoever they play, I do believe Brooklyn, if in fact they get out of the play-in round, they are going to be the toughest test. That series could potentially go 7 games, and I would be here for it. Pull up the chair, grab a bag of popcorn, grab a whole bag of wings, chicken, you know, french fries, whatever you like to enjoy, because it's going to be 7 games of pure basketball theatrics, and I am so excited. If you have any thoughts on the Celtics, your expectations for the Celtics going into the playoffs, call into the show, 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. We're going to step aside, and coming up next when we return, we got to talk about the Red Sox, because after all, they just played their first series of the weekend, and what a series it was between the Yankees and the Red Sox. So I want to give you my thoughts on the Yankees-Red Sox series that just concluded last night, with the Red Sox taking the third game of that series to avoid getting swept by the Yankees 4-3. That and much more coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Think fast. In the short time it takes to listen to this message, a small flame can turn into a big fire. Several minutes more, and thick, poisonous smoke may have filled your lungs and reduced your ability to respond. Give it 5, and your entire home may be filled with flames.
Keep breathing. We've got you.
Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and keep heaters 3 feet away from anything that can burn. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov, because fire is everyone's fight.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. Thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons, while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you are able to join the show on this Monday afternoon, wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening. As mentioned from earlier, as a reminder, I'm here until 6 o'clock throughout the month of Ramadan. And we got two more Mondays remaining. That's next week Monday. And then the following Monday, which would be April 25th, that's the last Monday of the month of Ramadan. And that would be the last show that is truncated. Instead of being the usual 5 to 7, it'll be from 5 to 6. So after today, just two more Mondays in which that the show is going to be shortened for an hour instead of the usual 5 to 7. So phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9149. 915-9636 is the number to call into the program. And I couldn't let the show go by without talking baseball because, after all, we just had opening weekend. Yeah, I know I opened the show talking Celtics, which I rarely ever do. Rarely. And those who listen to the program regularly know that, heck, I rarely talk basketball on the show. But I have made it a conscientious effort to integrate more Celtics basketball talk on this show because, after all, Celtics are a very important fabric of the Boston sports scene and all of New England. And on top of that, they are the NBA's most storied franchise. Sorry, Lakers. I mean, I know you also have 17 titles, but with LeBron James running your team, you guys got problems that are bigger than you firing Frank Vogel earlier today. But that's not my business, though, right? You're not a Lakers fan, so you wouldn't understand. I guess I wouldn't understand the fact that your superstar still carries the ego that is bringing down your franchise. As congratulations, you've missed the playoffs now for the second time in the last four seasons. Yeah, you want a bubble championship. Yeah. I get it. Fine. Lovely. But I'm going to steer this train back onto the tracks because I do want to talk baseball. I do want to talk about the Red Sox as they were able to salvage the finale of a three-game series against their arch rival, the New York Yankees, yesterday as they won that game 4-3, in which that was a big win for the Sox, because I'm sure that would not have felt good going into the series against Detroit, in which, by the way, that's in progress right now, that they go into Detroit, they just got swept by the Yankees, but nonetheless, they lose two out of the first three. But I want to talk about yesterday in particular, because there was something interesting that did stand out to me, because there was a story surrounding Cutter Crawford. And you want to talk about how baseball has a tremendous way of unearthing stories of guys that come out of almost seemingly nowhere to making a name for themselves in the major leagues or on a major league roster. And even more rarely, they make it to a point where they become an all-star. Or even more in a rare case, they make it to the Hall of Fame. And I'm referencing Mike Piazza, who went from a 62nd round anomaly to becoming the greatest home run hitting catcher in Major League Baseball history. But Cutter Crawford, who was on the roster bubble, he wasn't even expected to make the big league roster for the Boston Red Sox. But last night, he picked up the first win for the Red Sox pitchers this season. As the Red Sox, as I mentioned, they needed to get that big win last night. And in a game in which that it seems like after the Red Sox jumped out in front early, they got out to a 3-1 lead. The Yankees came out to tie it up. It just seemed like this was going to be another game that it would get away from the Boston Red Sox. And frankly, it would have led to today being a day of questions. I know three games in, we're not going to panic. It's a 162-game marathon. Questions surrounding the Boston Red Sox bullpen and why the Red Sox bullpen has been an area of concern, but rather the Red Sox bullpen has been an area of strength so far, even though they lost two of the first three games against the Yankees over the weekend. So let's talk about the Red Sox for a moment, because there was the part of it that I looked at in regards to this team, and I say, you know, maybe after all, Alex Cora can actually do something really good with this bullpen. I'll give him that credit. But as far as the starting pitching is concerned, I think it's fair to say that the Red Sox starting rotation left you with a little bit more than to be desired type of results and satisfaction if you're a Red Sox fan. It did. But I think it's also important because of the extenuating circumstances surrounding the Major League Baseball lockout that the pitchers, they are going to be behind the hitters. And based on the games that I watch across Major League Baseball, because I didn't just watch the Red Sox games this weekend when I got the chance. I got the chance to watch Friday's game and listen to Friday's game. I missed Saturday's game entirely for a very special reason, which I'll explain in a little later on. And I watched last night's game at home on Sunday Night Baseball. I try to watch a bit of the K-Rod cast, which I try to get behind, but maybe I struggled a little bit. I didn't give it enough of a chance, but I'll try again another week that they're back on again. So, as far as the Red Sox is concerned, the pitching is going to be behind for a while. And a lot of baseball fans and pundits are saying May 1st is going to be the real opening day. And I actually agree. Here's my reasons why. Because, one, I'm not going to sit here on a Monday afternoon on a day in which that the Red Sox are playing their fourth game of the season and go on this whole rant about the Red Sox pitcher rotation is a mess. No. We all knew, as baseball fans and knowledgeable baseball fans, that the pitching was going to be behind the hitting. Folks, they had, and I'm not just talking about the pitchers, I'm talking about everybody. They only had 3 weeks of spring training. Spring training was supposed to be a month and a half long, with pitchers and catchers reporting just shortly after Valentine's Day to get ready for the Major League season. But because of the lockout, that was delayed. Spring training was delayed. The start of the regular season was delayed. So the hitters are, by and large part, they are where they ought to be. And many of them said and feel that they are where they believe where they would be. The pitchers, not entirely so much. And I noticed going back to Friday, Gerrit Cole got taken out of the game early. Nathan Eovaldi went as far as he can before Alex Carter said, hey, thank you, but we're going to go to the bullpen now. We're going to take it from here. So what I'm saying is the pitching I'm not worried about if you're the Red Sox. Don't worry about the pitching. The pitching will, in fact, find its way around. The bullpen looked stellar in the first series. Of course, they got the three-game series against the Detroit Tigers, which begun this afternoon, which is actually underway right now as we speak. And the starting rotation is gonna figure itself out. And I was talking about it a couple of weeks ago, in which I feel like the Red Sox rotation, beginning with Nathan Eovaldi, your ace, you already know what you have there, but after that, it's just full of question marks. What do you realistically have? You're not going to realistically know through the first month of the season. When Ramadan concludes, we can have a furthermore discussion on that. And the Red Sox, they got a game today through, it looks like, Wednesday. And Thursday is the off day. But what an opening weekend. And before I even conclude the segment, I want to talk about opening weekend as a whole, not just as it pertains to the Boston Red Sox. Opening weekend was just absolutely spectacular to watch. I had the chance to watch the St. Louis Cardinals home opener on Thursday, in which Albert Pujols played his first game at Busch Stadium as a St. Louis Cardinal in 11 years. And man, when I tell you, it was special. It was special. I did that while I was out and about doing food shopping, trying to do some cooking so I can bring food back to the apartment so I can cook some iftar to get ready for the evening. It was amazing to watch. I also enjoyed watching the Padres and the Diamondbacks and then, of course, the Texas Rangers against the Toronto Blue Jays, fucking baseball here. So opening day weekend and opening day was just spectacular all the way through and through. Great first weekend. And then, of course, Shohei Ohtani doing Shohei Ohtani things in Anaheim. So if you're a baseball fan, this was your weekend to truly just enjoy what you love most, and that's the game of baseball. Now that the games are fully, as I should say, now that we know that the games are, like, they matter and so forth, you got to believe You got to believe that now the excitement is going to build up. It's going to, for sure, anticipate. You got to anticipate the build up that is for the rest of the season. Because the festivities didn't just conclude yesterday. It continued on, and it's going to continue on this entire week as teams are going to be having their home openers this week. The Red Sox, as a matter of fact, they're going to be having their home opener on Friday, which happens to coincide with Jackie Robinson Day. And we know, as baseball fans, as this is the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier and making his major league debut for the Brooklyn Dodgers, that forever changed not just baseball, but the United States. So Friday is going to be a pretty symbolic day as they're going to be back home, the Red Sox, that is, against the Minnesota Twins. First pitch is at 2:10 p.m. Cannot wait. It's going to be a fun one to be able to catch a game and listen to the game on radio and so forth. So it's time to take a break. We're going to step aside for a bit and allow myself to really catch a breather because baseball is back. I'm fired up. The NBA playoffs are about to begin. And I don't know about you, but it's time to get fired up. Coming up next, in the final segment of the show, we're going to talk some Bruins and mix in some other miscellaneous topics as well, including a story that I want to share with you from what was a very special weekend. And what is going to be a very special chapter in my broadcasting career. I'm going to tell you exactly more about that in the next segment, so don't go anywhere. Coming up next right here on The Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuskegee Farm Radio.
Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Corría libre, me cazó un tigre, una presa para ti. mucho los daños cuando el amor es ciego. Mi corazón te llora, 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 llora. Llora por un hombre que no cura mis penas. Llora, 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 llora. Llora por un hombre que no vale la pena. Oh, Terry. Oh, Terry. Oh, Terry. Oh, Terry. Metiste amor puro y me tiraste un conjuro. Mi confianza en ti la puse. Sé real, ya no te luce. Tenía mucho pretendiente y solo tú estabas en mi mente. Me dejaste sola y no pa' siempre, porque tu sangre está en mi vientre. Mi corazón te llora, 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 llora. Llora por un hombre que no cura mis penas. Llora, 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 llora. Llora por un hombre que no vale la pena. Yo tenía un novio.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at autismspeaks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tuss Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call into the show is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show, as I'm here with you for another 10 minutes or so before I gotta get out of here and make my way to the mosque and whatnot. So, with all that being said, man, what a weekend it was. First and foremost, I'm going to start with the broadcasting story, because I made mention of this last week on the radio show, but I figure now would be a good time to really, you know, invite the audience in into what really was a very special weekend. And this is just the beginning of what's going to be a very special journey in my next chapter of my broadcasting career. Now, if you may have missed it, or you haven't heard, or you had no idea, I was hired as a play-by-play broadcaster calling college sports on ESPN Plus. So I had started doing games for Brown University Athletics this past weekend. So Saturday, I missed the Red Sox-Yankee game because I was busy calling a doubleheader between Columbia Lions and the Brown Bears down in Providence, in which the game, it was on ESPN Plus. It aired on ESPN Plus. You can watch it on ESPN Plus on demand, and it was absolutely just special. It was a wild affair. The first game went to Columbia 10-8. Columbia came back from 8-4 down in the top of the ninth inning to score 6 runs, highlighted by the 2-run double by EJ Crutzman, who had himself quite a game. It was just truly amazing all the way through and through. And as well as game 2 of the doubleheader on Saturday afternoon, it was a doozy. It wasn't very eventful early on in the first 4.5-5 innings of the game, but seventh inning, Colombia exploded offensively, and they just took over. They won that game in a blowout. And yesterday, it was basically a runaway. It was a runaway game, like in which that the bullpen for the Brown Bears, they just fell apart. But those were the games. This is my experience. And I promise you I want to touch on the Bruins for just a moment, but at the end of this this topic here. So getting there, I don't think it really hit me initially until I sat in that chair and I put on the headset and I started, you know, getting into the routine, doing the intro, you know, like introducing my broadcasting partner, Scott Cordici, who I allowed to call the middle innings of the game from innings 4, 5, and 6 in games 1 and 2. It was just more of me being nice. And it was just spectacular. The chemistry was there, and he was really one of the guys who I really enjoyed listening to and enjoyed working with, as the chemistry was just seamless. It was just very smooth, very easy to work with, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a great deal. And the thing that I learned like from that was, once those nerves, because there were nerves in the first inning, in the first half of the top of the first inning and so forth, but once I got into my rhythm, it was like, oh, I got this. Okay, I know what I'm doing. This is what I love. This is my heart and soul. I got this. Boom. And then everything else just got keep getting better and better and better and better. It was just outstanding. And right now, I'm slated to schedule. I'm scheduled to call a doubleheader for Brown on Saturday. As of for now, that is slated to change. I'm scheduled to call a doubleheader for softball. That game, those games, I should say, will be on ESPN Plus on Saturday for the Brown softball team. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. And we'll see what happens. We'll see how things go. But it was absolutely outstanding. The feedback and the responses were pretty special. It was pretty heartwarming, to say the least. And it was truly a wonderful weekend, but it was very tiring. By the end of the day yesterday, I was just wiped, physically wiped. You know, getting up early to, as I had been doing throughout Ramadan, to have my pre-dawn meal, the suhoor, and then after that, I had, you know, try to take a nap for a little bit and having to get back up at 5:30, and then leave the house by 6:40 to hop on the T to go catch the commuter rail from South Station, which left at 8:00 a.m. to go down to Providence. I mean, I'll do it again, and I mean any day of the week, but when you're fasting, especially during Ramadan, your schedule changes. So it was a challenge, but I'm grateful that I was able to absolutely, like, you know, figure a way through it and figure things out as I move through and so forth. It was a lot of fun, for sure. And I would also even go as far as to say that, man, walking in College Hill, those hills are no joke. They are truly a workout. If you are trying to lose weight or, you know, shred a few pounds or whatever, go walk up the hills of College Hill down in Providence. Do that consistently 5 times a week, you lose weight. You lose weight pretty quickly. Heck, you can walk or you can run up those hills. And if you know what I'm talking about. So we got about a couple minutes left. Just a quick thought on the Bruins. So the Bruins lost yesterday to the Washington Capitals, 4-2. Omar played a pretty good game. He did. But unfortunately, the Bruins, they fell victim to an unfortunate bounce, in which that Washington was able to score the game-winning goal with 12 minutes and 42 seconds remaining left in the final period, in which that Larzello's shot deflected off Eric Halla. And that put the Capitals ahead 3-2. And that was just a tough way to lose a game for the Boston Bruins. Tough loss. But nonetheless, they had a pretty good road trip by and large part. And although they didn't manage the puck as well as they could have, especially in that particular situation. I mean, they won the faceoff, but they didn't manage the puck. I just think that it is something that the Bruins have to improve upon pretty quickly in terms of puck management and support. And that's something that the Bruins are going to need to clean up before the Stanley Cup playoffs begin on May 2nd. Because yesterday that was another reminder in which that those are the kind of mistakes that can cost you games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it can cost you potentially a long, deep run in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So an unfortunate loss, but nonetheless, you have to have really liked what you've seen so far from this Bruins team as they have marched through the month of April, although with injuries. Hampus Lindholm hasn't returned yet. David Pastrnak hasn't returned yet. We don't know when Pastrnak's going to return, but that is something to keep in mind moving forward for and watch out for. Also, keep in mind the Bruins, they do return back to the Garden tomorrow night. They are playing the St. Louis Blues at 7 o'clock. That's a puck drop tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Garden. So the Bruins are back home for, let's see how many games. One, two, three. For three games. They got the game tomorrow, that's Tuesday, against St. Louis. They got the game against the Ottawa Senators on Thursday evening. And then Saturday afternoon, they have a big matchup against the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's a 12:30 puck drop. That's Saturday afternoon. That's on NHL Network nationwide, but it's locally, exclusively on NESN only here in New England. So it's 5:47 now, and we got maybe a minute and a half left in this program. So it's time for final thoughts by yours truly, Shukri Writes, here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. I, for one, am a big proponent of the Celtics finally proving that after so many years of frustration and disappointment in the playoffs, not being able to get over the hump, that this is the year to finally do it. They got the team. This team has gelled in more ways than one, in which that you should feel excited. You should feel hopeful. Because the Boston Celtics, for the first time in a long time, feel like and look like a team that could win a championship. You look across the landscape of the league right now, and you look even in the Western Conference, is there a team out there that the Celtics should be afraid of? No. Is there a team in the East that the Celtics should worry themselves about? If your answer is Brooklyn, then I'll give you just a little bit of credence there. But other than that, nah, not really. Not really. But with all that being said, beginning Sunday, man, I can't wait. The NBA playoffs begin for the Celtics. The play-in round tournament begins this week in the NBA. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then also, in about 3 weeks' time, the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a fun spring. Red Sox are back. Celtics playoffs begin this Sunday. Boston Bruins Stanley Cup playoffs begin approximately on May 2nd. Approximately. I say approximately because that's the date that the NHL as a league is starting the Stanley Cup playoffs. But if they will start that particular day, we'll see. Depends on the schedule. But nonetheless, welcome to the spring of potential championships. I'm just putting it out there. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5.